Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday the 29th. This is the last show for Tokens Radio Show in October.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it's just amazing.
Am I on now? Okay.
All right.
It is totally crazy.
Yes, there was nothing happening in
the
I know.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you say it like that, then we have November. And then it's going to be Christmas.
Have you started your Christmas shopping?
Hell no. Have you?
Somewhat, yeah.
I thought she was going to say, of course, I'm done.
No, I used to be. I'm not that as organized as I used to be. But anyway, we've had to start. Anyway, we want to thank you for joining us today. And we talk about future of money, freedom and personal responsibility, and we've got some of those stories for you today. We have Christina, who is here producing the show, and we'd like to welcome her as our full-time producer. We really do appreciate
good
that.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. We love having you here.
Thank you for this wonderful Sunday. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Thank you.
Great. Nice. And we also want to thank Liam, who today was his last day.
We're going to miss him.
For working really hard and getting things done. And he made some positive changes. And I think Christina is just going to take it even farther.
Yeah. Of course. He's really cool. And I really will miss him. He's super responsible and a cool person.
Yeah. He is a cool person.
So we thank you all.
But you never know when he might pop in on us. Yeah. But anyway.
You bet. By the way, my name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
In case you didn't know that, right?
Yeah. And before we get started, hopefully the lady at I went to Whiskey Town Barbecue today, and my waitress said she'd be listening, and I can't remember her name. But I hope you're on and listening, and I hope you learned something. Just know it's just advice that we're giving.
Right.
It's educational.
Yes.
So do your homework.
Yes. Not financial advice.
No,
hashtag NFA.
So with that, I hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah. So if you'd like to chat with us, we're on X and Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And you can find a copy of today's show and our previous shows, news, and other resources on our website at tokensradioshow.com. And, you know, you can find our shows here at kcnr1460.com, where we're live streaming right now. And you'll find copies of the other shows that play here in KCNR as well.
Yeah, because we know everybody's busy in
life.
You know, there's things in life. And this way you can always go back and listen. And if you thought, oh, did I hear that correctly? It's nice. You can go back and listen again, too. So
absolutely. You know, we want to thank Elizabeth and Lauren and Cynthia, who was here for the last 3 weeks offering their insights and their experiences from the Pacific Bitcoin. It was great to have them on. You had somebody who was just fairly new to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency market.
Right.
Lauren being a longtime user, and then you have Elizabeth in between. It was a great mix of insights, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And different ages, different occupations.
Yeah.
From different parts of the world.
Right. Yeah.
Everything.
It was a great
mix.
Yeah,
it really was.
And we'll have them on here really soon.
Yeah.
So Bitcoin is on the rise, in case you didn't notice.
I did notice.
Yes, it's pretty exciting. And FTX, you know, that Sam Bankman-Fried's former company, is coming out of bankruptcy, and we'll bring you up to date. But first, let's get an update on the market. So, Linda, you want to take that?
Okay. We've got Bitcoin at 34,581, I think it says on there.
Mm-hmm.
ETH at $1,797.69. XRP at 55, almost 56 cents.
Yep.
And XLM at, a little over 11 cents.
Right. And some of you are waiting for XRP to take a little bit of a dip, just letting you know that we are paying attention to that.
We are.
Wink, and, wink.
Yeah, and actually, you know, they're predicting like Bitcoin, it's going to keep doing this. It may go down, but it's going to go up. So just hold on. Don't have any fear that the bottom's falling out on it.
Absolutely.
Ain't going to happen.
I'll take this next section.
Okay.
The Queen of Dragons sponsors today's show. This local establishment takes great pride in delivering top-quality items at competitive prices. They ensure the safety and freshness of all their offerings through rigorous testing. Listener MJ has this to say. Their high CBD THC products I can obtain through the Queen of Dragons make the life of this senior much more pleasant and pain-free. The Queen of Dragons has a diverse range of premium products. They're freshly packaged daily, and they're open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Stay updated on their deals by following at Queen Dragons on X or contact them at 530-276-9771. Well, you know, shall we get into our first news story?
Sure.
There's a lot going on.
All news cycles are just, I mean, they're overloaded.
Yeah.
They are changing so fast. So the first one, see if I can get this out of my mouth. Probably not. Preston
Pish.
Bitcoin is anti-totalitarianism.
Close.
I almost got it. Almost. Go ahead.
Totalitarianism.
Thank you.
All right. You got it.
So in this market, he argues that the free market capitalism and individual liberties in the U.S. are under threat from increased government control and manipulation of markets. In 2008, bailouts, quantitative easing, and yield curve control as distorting free price discovery and capital allocations. This has gutted the middle class and concentrated the wealth, which is true. People don't realize what is happening to capitalism and stuff. It's ending.
It's also called the Cantillon effect.
Correct.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is just something I know a lot of our listeners are probably aware of. But sometimes it takes a little bit more, like, kind of a bump on the head to go, look at what's really going on. Look at where we're headed. Look at our liberties that we're losing and our freedom and the free market. It's a big deal. We've been known as a free market forever.
Well, and you said something so significant. That's why I mentioned the Cantillon effect, is that this has gutted the middle class and concentrated wealth.
Yes.
That, if you go and you Google Cantillon effect, it starts with a C, you'll read up on this and you can see how it starts. It always benefits the most wealthy at first when we print money.
Right.
They get the most benefit. They get to go out and invest in assets. The rest of us may use that free and inexpensive money. When I say free money, we had zero interest rates for a long time. But we go out and we buy things to enhance our life. We're not out there buying assets typically.
Right.
These guys are buying assets, and then what happens? It squeezes the middle class. Does it feel this way?
Oh,
kinda
yeah.
It kind of looks that way, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I'm glad you said something about the middle class too, because always in these circumstances, the middle class basically goes away and becomes either you go to the other end, which is poor, or you go to the wealthy end, which doesn't happen very often. It depends on your education and when you start coming in to realize, like with Bitcoin or hard assets, whether it's gold, silver, Bitcoin, you know, real assets, and getting that education to know your financial portfolio, basically.
Right. Well, you're not so much talking about a college education. You're
Correct.
Talking
no.
about the education about these types of things, about your investments, how the economy works, and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, how people
you
to
don't
get
need
wealthier.
A college degree for that.
No, I wish they would teach it in just regular school, but they don't
to.
Do that.
They used to.
Yeah, because most kids, I mean, they can't add, they can't make change or whatever. But no. It's a whole different thing. So, again, we just want people aware of it so that they know that hopefully they're not going to go down to the bottom and realize what's going on in our country, in our financial world.
There's more good stuff here in this article. I mean, they're talking about the
proposed regulations on Bitcoin, like banning self-custody and running nodes further erode financial freedoms. The article urges informed citizens to challenge I cannot get that word out.
Totalitarian
policy, educate themselves on Bitcoin, and support organizations dedicated to digital rights. It warns the U.S. risks falling behind in finance if it doesn't embrace Bitcoin's decentralization. The stakes are high. America must adapt or lose its leadership, upholding liberty and sovereignty in money matters, which is so true.
Yeah, the part about you not being able to self-custody your Bitcoin is kind of like you can't hold on to your own gold or your own silver or put some fiat money away in the safe.
Right.
They want complete control, and that's fortunately we've had some positive changes, I think, in our House of Representatives that's going to get to the bottom of a lot of this.
Right, and it's very important when we talk about how high the stakes are. Your liberties are, once you lose them, it's not like they come back real easy, if they ever do come back.
Yeah, it's how they might come back is not pleasant. It's not a pretty sight.
And it's supposed to be set up for us to govern ourselves, whether it's financially or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That was what our founding fathers set up for us.
Yeah, I agree. And we need to find a way to get back to that. It's not
easy.
It's not easy. There's a lot of different viewpoints out there. They're very convoluted. Comes from a lot of ignorance. It failed because there's a lot of great teachers out there. I'm not pointing a finger at them.
Right.
But it has to do with our teaching curriculum.
Right.
Let's just put it that way. We've got a couple of generations of very ignorant people with these types of things.
And it also, you know, in all fairness, even with us, we're having to rethink things.
Oh, yeah.
Retrain our brain to think a whole different way a lot of times than what we were brought up.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it, all right? I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Where my brain actually went with all of that is I've gotten to the point that most of the things that I grew up learning was a big lie.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you agree with that, but that's where I'm at.
Well, just look around. But again, we all have to kind of retrain ourselves on some things.
Question everything.
Yes, there you go. Question everything.
So good old Robert Breedlove has something related to this that we'd like to share with you. So here we go.
The idea that the only way to stop Bitcoin.
Yep. One second, folks.
You know
if, hold on. She's got a plug-in, I think, so you can actually hear it the same as we can.
Oh, my
goodness.
Here we go. My apologies. Here we go.
The idea that the only way to stop Bitcoin is for actually nation states themselves to solve their own Byzantine generals problem, right? They all need to coordinate in a trusted way, all of them, with no defectors, is the only viable geopolitical strategy to stop Bitcoin.
I think that's right. And I think, and thank God, the governments we have are stupid enough that they didn't squash it in its youth.
Right.
That they ignored it and they let it get this far because, in my opinion, the horse is out of the barn.
Yeah.
And nation states, some have tried to squash it, right? China's trying. How's that working out?
Right.
I mean, there's still some of it going on there. And, you know, my view is that obviously China and Russia are making the bet that we're in a monetary crack-up boom, right? And we're in a the money is failing.
That's
this is a once-in-a-hundred-year event. And they know it. So it's going to be a great monetary reset. We can all see that coming. And Russia and China are betting on gold. The U.S. has a wonderful opportunity to leapfrog both of those and go to Bitcoin as our monetary standard, which is why I hope Jason Lowry succeeds in convincing the Pentagon.
Well, that is a name we haven't heard in a long time, is Major Jason Lowry. He's been very silent.
Yes, but we know he was very busy before that.
And he did put a thumbs up saying that he was speaking with his commanders who actually sent him to MIT to learn about this.
Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book. I haven't made it all the way through the book It's
very technical.
It is very technical. So it takes us a little bit. But he has some good information in there, that's for sure.
So a couple points that they were making in this clip is that the only way for governments to stop Bitcoin is by coordinating and solving their own problems. But I agree with what the guy said in here. It wasn't Robert Breedlove. I don't know who the other person was. But they ignored it for too long, and it's too late to control it because this genie is out of the ball, financial crimes enforcement network, part of the Patriot Act, to get involved here.
Does any bells go off in your head when you hear Patriot Act?
Yeah. So FinCEN, which is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, proposes regulating private technologies like Bitcoin mixers as primary money laundering concerns under the Patriot Act. So what a mixer is, it's just not Bitcoin. There's crypto mixers, which will allow you to use a third-party service, and you're basically exchanging coins, and it will mess up the first-in, first-out process of acquiring coins. So I'm looking at this based on the conditioning that we already have about money laundering and our current laws. But then yet when you look at the Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are private in many ways, then we have to come up with a different way of reporting. This is not the way.
I agree with that.
To where they have control over the blockchain.
Yeah. Right. And again, they make it sound like mainstream media type stuff that everybody that does cryptocurrency, whether it's Bitcoin or other, that some way we're a criminal. We're laundering money or committing a criminal act, which isn't true at all because they don't know what we're doing. So of course we got to report it like it's bad.
Well, it's like any kind of liberty that they want to take away from us. I'm not getting into the gun dispute, but we just had a very horrific mass shooting. Mm-hmm. We had one person with one gun, but they want to go after the millions of people who are law-abiding, never have problems, and they want to take them all away. But it was one gun.
And it wasn't the gun.
That doesn't have a brain of its own.
Right.
It's the person holding the brain, holding the gun.
Exactly.
With the messed up brain.
Yeah, it's not the gun that walked over there and and did any shooting.
Same thing about, the SUV that runs into people. Do they go ahead and now want to, ban all the SUVs, knifing, or what do they want to go take all of the knives and butter knives away from?
Right, exactly.
This is so silly, and so this is the same thing. So this says, this would require reporting customer data on suspected mixing transactions to federal agencies.
You know what comes to mind when you read that? Police State.
Yes. That was a great movie,
by
the way.
It just popped in my head. Police State.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Police State, you really should go ahead.
Exactly.
I think it could just stream it at home now.
I think so.
You go to policestate.net.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, just a small digression there. So they would collect bulk data, and that would aid surveillance firms whose business relies on attributing suspicious transactions to known entities, despite no evidence showing crypto is an effective terrorism financing solution. Which, when you think about that, everything's on the blockchain.
Right.
So you can basically track these large transactions. You may not know who the exact player is, but there's a wallet address. And next thing you know, you have a financing of something. I think it's a little bit harder to do it that way than instead of just using cash.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, USD.
Yeah. You're
tracking me, right?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, that was the gist of this particular story, that they want to just find another way to impose on our liberties.
Right. It makes me think of something I said our show this morning. If you find me the man, I'll find you the crime. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh, yes. If that isn't in indelible ink in your brain about what we've seen over the last few years, I can't help you.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so the next article, IRS proposes unprecedented data collection on crypto users. Again, here we go, that they basically want to implement the reporting requirements on cryptocurrency more. They want to have more information. It is called, it comes from 2021 infrastructure bill, and they want you to report more of the information to them so they can surveil you by re-reporting from some crypto businesses that don't currently collect your data. They want everybody to give them the information in regards to cryptocurrency. The justification seems to be that the companies technically have the ability to collect more customer information, not that they need to. So that the IRS is saying, hey, you know what? We want you to. That doesn't make it so.
Can I ask how this is part of infrastructure? You know, like roads and bridges and things like that. How is this part of that?
Well, if you got a lot of pork in your bill.
Oh, okay. So it was just a tack-on thing.
Yeah, it's okay. Like we'll kind of slip it through. People don't read it, you know, and then the IRS.
Like a CR?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continuing resolution.
Don't you remember? Yeah, in the little tiny, 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 tiny letters that said that you agreed to this.
On those, you know, 64,000-page bills that you have, mm-hmm. you know, less than 24 hours to read.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
There's nothing to
worry
about.
I gotcha.
All right. So this continues to be very troubling. You imagine that, of the increase of financial monitoring of Americans. The expected tax revenue for these requirements has also been drastically reduced from initial estimate. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bottom line, is the IRS is saying we are not getting enough money because we're overspending and printing money. So we're not getting enough tax revenue. So we need more information to receive more tax revenue from you.
So we need more tax revenue to fund things that are outside of our country rather than to fund things that are in our country that really are supposed to go to the Treasury.
Right.
Gotcha.
Pretty much. And people don't realize, you know, we would run just fine without any more tax revenue.
Yeah.
We could do away with income tax and still be good.
You see, and Bitcoin is not political, but it brings these conversations on because this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to control something that's not controllable. So we have a clip to, you know, finish out this little segment here. So why don't we go ahead and play that?
Yeah, go for it.
If you have your money in Bank 123 and they don't go bankrupt, hey, they're all well and fine, but something goes down, their servers go down and you can't access, you can't do what you need to do, you can't pay your bills, you can't access their app because, oh, it's being updated and we had a server malfunction. What are you going to do? That is one of the many beautiful things about Bitcoin. There is no single point of failure. And you can increase the security of the network. You can start mining if you want to. You can have your own node if you want to. That's not something that you can do with anything else. You can't increase the security and safety of your money in your bank. You have to hope that Bank 123 does that for you. But you don't have to hope that with Bitcoin.
So hence we understand why they want to take more of our liberties away. There's no single point of failure there.
Exactly.
Yes.
So with that, I guess we will take a break and we will continue the headlines on the other side. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show here on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. See you in about 5.
Welcome to the Queen of Red Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Brief is an update about the Gateway School Board election. The candidate forum between Camille King and Casey Bowden, originally scheduled by the League of Women Voters and the Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce, has been canceled and will not be held due to a scheduling conflict. In a related story, the newly formed Citizens Election Advisory Committee, CEAC, in Shasta County has discussed at length the draft bylaws and the scope of their authority to oversee election processes. Some members believe the intent was to grant them more oversight than the county attorneys say is allowed under the establishing resolution. There are differing views on whether the group should be called a committee, commission, or board. The county attorneys state the committee has no special right beyond the public to access election documents, like recall petition signatures. The committee voted to create an ad hoc committee to review election issues, including the recall of a supervisor, but how this will be accomplished legally is unclear. They requested a presentation from the elections department, but were informed they could not direct another elected official like the clerk. There appear to be differing interpretations between some committee members and county attorneys regarding the group's powers. The committee aims to avoid impeding election preparations as a special election nears. In our next story, the City of Reading is hosting public workshops to get feedback on plans to expand and improve Reading Regional Airport. The first workshop was held on Thursday. The goal is to update the airport's master plan to meet the increasing demand for air travel. Projects being considered include building a new terminal with more gates, expanding the TSA security area, and adding more parking. The plan will also try to attract new airlines and flights, like a hoped-for new route to Denver. The public workshops and feedback will help the city determine which projects are feasible. After completing the master plan, the city can apply for federal funding to cover the cost of approved upgrades and expansions. Stay up to date with this project by visiting www.reading.airportstudy.net. To follow up on last week's story, Shasta County plans to spend up to $100,000 on a media campaign against the proposed Fountain Wind Energy Project in eastern Shasta County. The county will create a website, mailings, videos, radio ads, and a media kit to inform residents about the perceived negative impacts of the 48-turbine wind farm planned by ConnectGen. Many residents and officials oppose the project, claiming it will hamper firefighting, be visually unappealing, and disrupt sacred native sites. Though the County Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors rejected the proposal, new state legislation allows the California Energy Commission to override local control and approve the project. The commission is still reviewing the application. County officials see the state's involvement as an overreach, taking away local control. ConnectGen touts economic benefits like tax revenue and construction jobs. For today's last brief, bring your household hazardous and electronic waste to the Household Hazardous and Electronic Waste Collection event in Shasta Lake City on Saturday, November 4th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The location is at the end of Shasta Gateway Drive. Take Ashby Road from Pine Grove Avenue or Shasta Dam Boulevard and turn onto Shasta Gateway Drive. Follow event signs. This event is open only to Shasta County households. Call 530-225-5789 or email recycle@co.shasta.ca.us with questions and a list of accepted items. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at 420truth_teller on X, formerly Twitter.
And we're back.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many good things that was reported there that's just like, wow, you know, that lots going on in our county.
Yes,
but it's
there
interesting
is.
What's going on at the school board. I mean, that is just like a chaotic situation in terms of a lot of the nonsense that's going on, not so much at the board, like what's been reported. It's what's going on in the community about these candidates, which just couldn't seem to get together for the public to actually talk to them together in the same room.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yes, it's two times.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, I don't know, a real high-up office. Yeah. I'm not sure how to say that, you know, it's a school board.
It's an important office.
It is an important office, but it's not like you're having to do all other kind of preparation and stuff in order to go to a forum or to take questions and answers or whatever. And
the ideologies of the candidates are so, they're on different ends of the spectrum, which was, I think, why it's so much nonsense going on with this. You have one that's just really just wants to do the job, and the other one that just has a lot of this other stuff going on behind them, and it's just amazing. So, you know, maybe we have a couple of little sound bites that might just sum this up.
Okay.
All right. So this one
is for
Camille. Here we go.
Okay, it's for Camille King.
So we think you get the point. This is somebody who will dig in and has the mental capacity to do some critical thinking, independent thinker, can discern, move the, you know, how do they say, the wheat from the chaff. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So she can do all of that, and that's going to be great. And she wants to be able to bring her kids back into the district.
Yes. That's a big deal.
Yeah. The real story is that she took them out because of the things that were going on.
Right.
So, and she just wants fairness for everybody's children to be able to have the same opportunities her kids have had. So here's our rendition of what the other candidate kind of represents.
Voted.
There we go. Here we go.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
That kind of sums it up.
It sure does.
That was good. Really good. So, and before we leave that subject, what surprises me, that the local media has reported on this like zilch. I mean, very, very little. about what's going on. Yeah. And it is an important thing.
Yeah. Well, what has been reported, I was glad to see an article yesterday that seemed to be somewhat fair. Gave a little bit more time to Camille because she has not really had that fair opportunity to speak. There's been some hit pieces coming out, puff pieces for the other.
Right.
And it's just like if they would be allowed to have had the forum, then the two candidates could speak for themselves rather than having these other entities speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really a shame.
Yep. Yeah. Totally agree.
We should expect more out of our candidates.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, before we went to break, the last article we were talking about was about how Bitcoin eliminates the risk of relying on a single bank.
Yeah.
And the decentralized network.
No single point of failure.
No single point of failure. So, on to the next article, folks.
Well, if you have been following the story in El Salvador, the current president, Nayib Bukele, he's up for reelection. But in their form, in their constitution, the current president is not allowed to campaign for reelection. That's somewhat of what I understood. And somebody out there who knows more about what's going on with that, please let us know. Call in, would you? 530-605-4567. We'd really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But he's evidently stepping down so that he can run for the office again. So, you know, the question is that, you know, he's made historic differences in El Salvador. It used to be one of the most crime-ridden countries in the world.
Yes, it was.
And he's made tremendous changes because they adopted Bitcoin, and it is part of their national currency. And by doing that, in uplifting the population, their citizens in El Salvador, they have improved security. They boosted tourism and investment. Isn't it amazing what Bitcoin has done for them?
Right.
Bitcoin is part of their mandatory education for all students in El Salvador. So especially the graduating ones from high school, they all must have credits in Bitcoin education.
Wow.
You know, it's a big part of their future.
And you go back a couple years, the only time we heard about El Salvador is when it was in really dire straits.
Yeah.
And now that it's being turned around, I don't ever really hear of it in the mainstream media or anywhere else except where we pull the information about how they're turning it around and how Bitcoin is making such a huge difference in their quality of life.
Well, so much so, the Salvadorians don't want to come here because they feel less safe in our country than they do in their own home country.
Yeah.
So this goes on. They're a bit worried. Their citizens are a bit worried if with Bukele stepping down. And I'm sure that he has contingency plans for this. So, you know, there are some threats that remain internally. Bitcoin volatility, corrupt political rivals, released gang members, and banks beholden to foreign powers could undermine their progress. So it's important to get somebody who will that they will elect in somebody who shares his visions
right.
and will continue on with the plan. Externally, potential U.S. interference. We don't interfere anywhere. Military ties with the U.S. and banking financial coercion are all risks. Solutions include educating the citizens, which is what they've been doing.
Right.
Counter speech, codifying Bitcoin protections, fostering Bitcoin innovation and business, seeking municipal partnerships abroad, which they have been doing, and developing independent defense capabilities. All of this is what President Bukele has put into place in just his few short years.
Right, yeah.
Overall, El Salvador is a historic opportunity to break from poverty and foreign domination, but must actively safeguard its sovereignty and Bitcoin adoption against internal and external threats. And believe me, they are there.
Yeah.
They were, it was bet on that they would not be able to pay back their International Monetary Fund loan, and because they went and started accepting Bitcoin as a national currency, but they were able to pay that off early and in full. And it was quite a surprise to, you know, the current banking regime.
Yeah, and it just tells you, like you said earlier, that the people don't want to leave there.
Yeah.
You know, that says a lot in itself because, of course, we got people that not just coming to America but moving all over the world, mostly coming here because they think it's so much better here, yeah. Which it used to be. We're holding on to that. But, yeah, that they don't have to leave their home.
Right.
Their home.
Well, they have
and try to create something right. When it's being created for them through Bitcoin.
Yeah. We've had Alan Jackson here who's been to El Salvador many times.
Yeah.
And he's spoken about, you know, the transformation that's happened there. And people just feel so much safer. They don't have the MS-13 gang problem like they used to. Seems like they're coming here, you know, and it just
right. <I don't> But so. It's amazing to take a country like that and see the turnaround if you know where to look for the information. And it's not the only place. We've talked about it, places in Africa and other countries like that. What a difference it really is making. We're not making this up. This yeah. really does work yeah. this way.
Yeah, we pulled this right out of Bitcoin Magazine.
Yeah.
It's right there. They reported on it.
Yeah.
Check this, one, this next article out.
Okay, the next
incredible.
One. Bitcoin price up 1.6 million percent since infamous Alan Mess tweet. So this last Wednesday marked the 12th anniversary of Nick Allen's infamous 2011 tweet, excuse me, expressing disbelief that Bitcoin was valued at just $2.70 per coin, saying he was so glad he didn't buy into that mess. Right. At the time, Bitcoin was trading at around $2, but it has since soared over 1.6 million percent to nearly 35,000 per coin today. Let me repeat that, 35,000 per coin today. Alan's tweet has become symbolic of how cryptocurrency has evolved into a mainstream asset and defied expectations after a remarkable growth journey over the past decade. Though Alan and others have continued to doubt Bitcoin's potential, its extraordinary price increase highlights the increasing interest in cryptocurrencies as a legitimate investment. Bitcoin has a history of proving doubters wrong and rewarding believers. So this anniversary serves as a reminder that the digital currency can still have bright days ahead despite the barrage of recent negative headlines.
Isn't that true?
I mean,
just
so
look
true.
A couple years ago when it nearly hit, you know, it was $67,000.
Right.
So, I mean, it's expect it to be there, not financial advice, hashtag NFA. Not financial advice, but we do expect that to exceed the previous high.
Right. And we know people, several people, that back when it was $2 and didn't buy.
Right.
And now they go, if only I would have done it at $2. They're going, look at the price, how much value I'd have. Yeah, 1.6 right. million percent increase.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to make that kind of investment return on your money?
See, that's the value of picking a winner when you're investing in a new technology.
Yep. So and we've alluded it to be like the internet.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So we're going to shift gears and get into some ETF discussions. But first, let's tee up what an ETF is. So
okay.
I've got a cut for you on that. Here we go.
ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It is a type of investment fund in exchange-traded products traded on stock exchanges, much like individual stocks. So, in other words, you don't really own the Bitcoin. You just give your money to another company to buy and hold it for you.
Yep, that's it. So, a Bitcoin ETF is an opportunity for large institutional investors to participate in this and give their customers an opportunity to have an interest in Bitcoin without owning the coin itself.
Right.
And it operates like mutual funds and I'm going to call it a, you know, a, what you call other exchange traded funds, stocks, for instance.
Right.
You don't own the stock per se. You're part of the fund. You have an interest in those stocks.
Yeah. It's, you own it on the paper, but you don't physically have control over it.
Yeah.
And it can be good and it can be bad. We all know, like with the stock market, along with the ETFs, you can make money. You can make a good investment. But that's something you have to be in tune to constantly. You have to watch, constantly be watching the market.
Exactly. Yeah. So BlackRock's imminent spot ETF approval fuels market optimism. I think that's what part of what we're seeing here. Plus, we're also starting, we're going to be entering the fourth quarter here.
Yes.
And right before the halving. So these two instances coming together should bring some really wonderful times. So Bitcoin has seen a surge in price, rising over 11% to top $35,000 on Tuesday. And this marks a 109% rebound year-to-date after the 2022 slump. Driving this optimism is anticipation of the first U.S. spot ETF with BlackRock and Fidelity poised to lead. A recent court victory for Grayscale has also boosted hopes of SEC approval after previous resistance. So that's pretty cool. Analysts say that SEC approval seems inevitable, but the timing's uncertain. But BlackRock is already listed on the exchange.
Yes.
I don't believe the trading has started on it. Maybe it's going to be the first trading day in November. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So if BlackRock gains approval, which we do expect that they will, it could set a precedent for other applications from major players like ARK, Fidelity, and Valkyrie. So there you go.
Right. All right. Bitcoin funds saw $57 million in inflows as EFT excitement grows.
That would be the ETF.
Oh, ETF, isn't that what I said? I probably said EFT.
You had a little switch.
Yeah,
there you go.
Global publicly traded crypto funds saw a major influx of over $60 million in new capital on Monday, equal to more than 10% of total net deposit into such funds this year. The bulk of money, around $57 million, went to Bitcoin investments and rising investors' appetite for Bitcoin spot ETF in the U.S. This comes as Bitcoin briefly surpassed 35,000 for the first time since May of 2021, likely fueled by the excitement around potential ETF approvals like BlackRock's iShares Bitcoin ticker being listed on the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation. The biggest source of inflows were Germany and Canada, with Germany's ETC group taking in $24.3 million and Canada's Purpose Investments getting $10.9 million. So it really got them going going into it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And you know what else BlackRock did? They wrote a check to the SEC.
Oh, imagine that.
They wrote a check. And the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States settled with BlackRock, fining the financial firm $2.5 million for misrepresenting investments in the entertainment industry. So no surprise why they write the check. They're clearing the decks so that they can get the ETF going.
Right. It's kind of interesting that it goes along with the entertainment industry to me.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on with the...
Yeah, exactly.
That's a rabbit hole discussion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We'll get out of the rabbit hole and move on.
So this agreement comes as the SEC prepares to evaluate BlackRock's application for a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund. BlackRock did not admit or deny the changes. They just wrote the check. The potential approval of Bitcoin's ETF has increased Bitcoin's price, briefly surpassing 35,000, and is expected to bring more capital into the crypto market.
Yeah. So should we do some of the parting points about ETFs?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Excuse me. The approval of Bitcoin ETF could increase demand and drive up the price of Bitcoin, but some argue that it may not fully capture the value of Bitcoin's decentralized nature.
Yeah. Yeah, and a Bitcoin ETF will allow easy access to Bitcoin for companies and individuals. You know, you got to think maybe retirement funds, IRAs, that type of thing, to where they have more control on where their funds are being directed, which is pretty cool.
Right. I just watched a clip real quick about the big scheme behind retirements and stuff. But we knew that.
Right.
A Bitcoin ETF approval would merge traditional finance with Bitcoin, blending old and new ways of thinking about money and investments, potentially changing how everyday investors view and engage with cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. And understanding Bitcoin's long-term potential and stack sats with your company, it takes work to have conviction, but Bitcoin is a secure savings mechanism that's a natural choice as people distrust government money.
Right. And at the top of the show, we talked, or you talked a little bit about FTX collapsing and coming. So we have the five top tips from experts in regards to that.
Yeah.
Still trading crypto? The FTX implosion showed the risk of centralized exchanges.
Yes.
Use decentralized exchanges when possible and only keep a fraction of assets on centralized platforms.
So if you have money on Coinbase, take it off. Don't store it all there.
Right.
Consider exchanges that provide proof of reserve audits. Use cold storage like hardware wallets for most assets. That would be your Trezors, Colkite, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Don't assume safety based on marketing.
Oh, please don't do that.
Yeah. Bad.
And vet projects and founders thoroughly first. Do your own research.
Yep. Spread assets across multiple exchanges, both centralized and decentralized, to minimize risk exposure.
So this was what was observed through the FTX collapse. And if you saw Sam Bankman-Fried during his testimony, he just played it, I didn't know. I know nothing. It's just amazing. He's going to spend some time in prison.
Right.
I'm pretty confident of that.
So real quick, the crypto industry is still young and evolving, so caution is warranted. Do your own due diligence. Don't chase unrealistic returns blindly. Read the terms and conditions carefully before investing.
Yes. And this advice, don't chase unrealistic returns blindly. We have talked to so many people about that where they were speculating and they're expecting big returns, but it didn't go that way, and now they're feeling the pinch. It hurts.
Right.
So don't speculate with something you can't lose.
And this goes across the board for
anything.
Investment.
Exactly.
Whether it's Bitcoin, real estate, whatever.
Gold, silver, you bet.
You bet.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think we got everything in today.
Nice.
High five, Linda.
Yeah.
That's great.
Across the way.
Yeah.
And with that, we will see you all next week.
Have a great day, everybody.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. Down the road it will be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys back in Illinois and on down through Tennessee.